Imagine, you're at an exclusive party. Across the crowded room, you spot the most stunning man. You spit take your champagne. He keeps approaching, and then he says,
"Your tanning session is now complete."
What just happened? You found your escape at Palm Beach Tan. Break from the chaos at a Palm Beach Tan near you and leave rejuvenated. Take time for yourself at Palm Beach Tan and take that feeling with you wherever you go. Get up to $25 off your first month. Featuring Australian Gold. Hot guy not included.
Legend has it, underneath the NJM insurance offices lies a mysterious room of long-forgotten, moldy mascot memorabilia. Often pitched by ad agencies, always rejected by NJM. Is it real? We may never know. But what is real is NJM's dedication to doing what's right for their customers. Astoundingly, they're proud to put policyholders first. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. Learn more at njm.com.
My name is Jim Gaffigan, and I feel like Nikki Glaser feels about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
I don't remember how Nikki Glaser felt.
Oh, yeah, you do. You dirty man.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell. Shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey there, and welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, a podcast that has swept the nation. Much like Beatlemania did in 1963 in England and then 64 in America.
Come on.
It's really, that was such a great lie that it actually made it impossible for me to speak now.
Yeah, you really shorted out.
I shorted out.
Yeah.
I shorted out because my own brain rebelled against what I was saying. But the podcast has been quite successful. We'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Cool. I get a lot of people who recognize my voice. I got a free sangria the other day at a bar because someone really liked the podcast.
That's great because you need more alcohol in your life.
Are you going to introduce me?
I think people know because your voice is so recognizable. Why would I have to introduce you? I mean, you just said that your voice is like Siri. Wherever you go, people know it's you.
Is that what I said? Like Siri, Apple application that's so in people, every single
paint
iPhone?
Paint the picture for us, Sonam Obsession, my assistant. You'll be
Thank
somewhere
you.
And you'll be using your voice and people will say, hey, I know that voice. You're on the Conan O'Brien podcast?
Yeah, but I've also been on the show, so they could just have just recognized me.
Okay.
So most people say, hey, I like the podcast, as opposed to, hey, I like those segments you do with. Is that going to hurt your feelings?
No. I'm not the kind of person that hears that a compliment and then picks out the little negative thing.
Okay.
I don't do that. So you people say, oh, I like the podcast, and then they don't mention the things you do on the show.
They do, too. They like everything and anything you've ever done in your career.
Very
good. And anything I'm associated with has been elevated because of your just sheer presence next to me.
Very good.
And you've
Perfect.
Made my life so much better.
Very good. Okay. Because you know what? This is a true phenomenon. People will come up and say something really sweet to me, and then I'll think, stop now. Just stop now. But they keep talking, and then they'll get to, I hate it. In 94, I fucking hated your face. Because you were so fucking cute, a fat face. But I really love you. And you're like, oh my God, you were so eloquent up top about how you enjoyed my work. And I can see them struggling.
Yeah.
And then they go, hey, I remember. And I go, you know what? I should really go. Your fucking face. I hated your fucking face in 94.
This person was eloquent?
They were earlier. And then suddenly they lose their eloquence. When they come up to me, they're like, excuse me, Conan, if you have a moment, and I do hope you do, I just find your combination of intelligence and self-deprecating wit to be, well, it's so illuminating and refreshing in our modern times, and, you know, your extensive knowledge both of the antebellum South and, of course, the post-World War II generation, quite a span of historical, and then I go like, well, thank you very much. Oh, yeah, one more thing! That's okay. I got to go. I got to get to the hospital. I'm late from an operation. No, hold on. And they grab my arm. Your fucking face. I hate your fucking face in 94. That happens so often. They lose all Well, Matt, I didn't introduce you properly. I know you're probably sensitive about that. Matt Gourley, producer of the show.
I got recognized the other day, too, but it was from a doctor, and I was at a very... Well, let's call him a specialist. Everything's fine, but it was considered very invasive, and it's weird to have someone know you from something.
Wait, well, tell the story.
Well, just... Well,
get right to it. What happened?
Wait, Conan.
Yeah.
No, you just say what happened.
No, that's all I need to say.
He doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Just stop. Well, then why did you bring
it? Well, wait a minute. He brought it up.
I know,
and
but
this is an honest,
safe not.
Environment.
No,
it's not safe.
This is a not safe environment.
It's unsafe.
Wait, yeah. So all what you're going to tell us is that you were at a doctor for a procedure.
Yes.
And you were in a vulnerable...
Well, just a general checkup. A little more
so. And the doctor, while he was doing something...
Right before. And then... Basically, like, hey, I know you from the show. He really enjoys it. Now let's get physical. Great doctor, great guy.
But why did he kiss you?
Well, I mean, I'm just kissable, I guess.
That's nice. So I'm glad that you got some. You get recognized occasionally.
Sometimes.
That's good. Good for you.
I mean, the image you've projected of me is usually not what they expect, I think.
Do you think I've projected an inaccurate image?
I know you have.
I have not.
Yeah, you have.
You know, a tweed suit wearing...
A t-shirt on.
What's that? That's the only tweed t-shirt I've ever seen in my life. And it says, I voted for Dewey on it.
Dewey?
Yeah.
Got a 1940s I do have people reference. Come up to me and say, you get bullied by him a lot. And is he trying to turn you into another Jordan Schlansky? That's what they say to me.
I would never do that to you. First of all, you know that Jordan is not a real person. You are a real... I know there's a real person in there. I do. And I respect you and I admire you. One of those, anyway.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's more than I expected.
Yeah. And no, you do a great job. And, you know, I don't know what we talk about now.
No, I don't either. I don't know where to go from there.
Introduce who the guest is today.
You think I should do that?
Yeah, I think you should.
It's a good guest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a really good guest.
You just don't want to tell anybody who it is?
All I'll say is that this man is whiter than me. And I didn't think that was possible.
That's saying something.
I think he may be dying.
Where you're ultraviolet, he's like black light.
Exactly. Yeah.
I guess that's the same thing.
No, I love this man. My guest today is a hilarious comedian who's been coming on my show for over 2 decades. He created the animated series Pale Forest and starred in the autobiographical TV land series, The Jim Gaffigan Show. If you haven't guessed who it is yet, then you're a complete idiot. His latest special, Quality Time, is available on Amazon Prime Video, and you can also see him in the new movie, Troop Zero. I'm thrilled he's here with us today. Jim Gaffigan.
Friendship seems so weird. I think it's weird when adults are like, that's my best friend. You're like, come on, man. Aren't you 50? No, that's my best friend. We eat lunch together.
Well, that's how people talk, too.
First of all, not everyone talks like that.
Yeah, every single person.
So you live with Cro-Magnon Man.
That's right. I know everybody.
It is a strange thing, people saying, are you my friend? Aren't we friends? Because we are at a certain part of our life where we're rocketing towards the grave. I like to say rocketing towards the open maw.
I'm skateboarding. But yeah.
You're skateboarding to the... Check this out.
Have you discussed how the term friendship is rather absurd in the entertainment industry?
Well, let's get into it.
Yeah. I am just so clueless. I don't understand that you develop relationships with people. This is my first time wearing headphones. But
I can tell.
So, you know,
Let's boil it down to this. You don't know how to establish friendships because you're empty inside.
I think it's some of that. Well, by the way, let's drift away from even the friendship thing. Can you believe any compliment you get in the entertainment industry? Can you?
If it's positive, yes. If it's overwhelmingly positive, then I immediately think that has a grain of truth. If it's in any way negative, I think they're just jealous. And this is schadenfreude.
No, but like, don't you, I feel as though there's a lot of people that are like, I'm a huge fan of yours. These are imaginary people. But like, no, if someone says, I'm a huge fan of yours, my initial instinct is, no, you're not. I feel like Rob Lowe has fans. You know what I mean? Like, I think comedians have like-minded people. And yeah. that's why I'm running for president. Yeah. Because I have these principles, and I believe a woman can be a president.
You know what? Very controversial stance, yeah. especially on this yeah. show.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and but say I'm for that.
You're going to get a lot of angry mail about that. I think that, yeah, you look at a Rob Lowe, yeah. and you think he won a genetic lottery.
Yes.
He doesn't look like the rest of us. So yeah. there's a reason that he is a celebrity. And I can see people being fans
right.
of this man who is the result of a divine birth.
Right.
Clearly, because his right. face is so perfect.
And when you kiss him, it tastes like strawberries.
Well, I've not been as fortunate as you. I've tried. I've tried to do a little peck on the cheek, and that's sort of like a vanilla. That's like a vanilla flavor. But the lips is strawberries?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's just like Rob Lowe and kind of like, there's certain people that don't age at all. Like, you know, Rob Lowe is 73 years old.
Do you know that he fought in the Korean War?
He did.
He fought valiantly in the Korean War and was grievously injured. He's 73 is what they list on his site. He could be as much as 88 years old.
In the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, he played Zuzu of Zuzu's Petals.
Zuzu's Petals.
Well, that's
right. Let's do our dueling. Mr. Gower, it's me. It's George Bailey.
Hey, Mr. Walsh, you not come in anymore.
What the hell was that?
That was a Mr. Martini.
Yeah, but no one does martini.
Yeah, Mr. Walsh.
You don't do martini. Everyone does Jimmy Stewart from that movie.
Hey, check it out. I'm giving it. And that's another thing. Where do you get off calling me Nick?
You do all the impressions wow. from that movie that nobody does.
I'll have a flaming rum punch.
That tree is scarred. Wait, who's that? He runs into the tree. No one does that guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the oldest tree in Pottersville.
You know what I've always wanted to do?
Yeah.
I always wanted to do, I talked to Dana about this because he does a brilliant, Dana Carvey, he does a brilliant Jimmy Stewart, the best one. But I just always thought it'd be really funny if when they confront George Bailey at the savings and loan and he's like, yeah. Hey, you got it all wrong. Your money's not here. No. You know, and he tells them your money's yeah. in this person's house. But if instead he just said, no, your money's not here. No. I spent that money on cocaine. I went to Ensenada and I had four whores. That money's gone.
Yeah, what was his relationship with Violet Blades? Like, there was something going on.
Something was going on.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, like, she had to earn her keep.
Well,
he was the pimp. That wasn't even her name, Violet. Yeah. He was like, hey, you know what? We're going to call you Violet from now on. You know what
that's
I mean?
Jimmy Stewart?
In the real life, that's how he talked.
This why is, would, this why is in the you, real? It's a Wonderful
why
Life?
Why would you do that? Why'd you do that? Where's Zuzu's Petals? Zuzu. Zuzu's Petals. That's another. Mr. Martini.
All right, listen.
How about some wine?
Let's do a show.
Yes.
Let's do a whole separate podcast yeah. where we do impressions from famous movies, but the parts that no one cares about. Right this way, table four. Wait, what's that? When they're showing Peter Lorre his table in Casablanca. What?
Yeah.
There's a guy who says, this way, table four.
Right.
And then everyone's like, I didn't know that. Because everyone else knows, like, play it again, Sham. You know, whatever, you know?
So you love work, Komen. You love to work. You love to create. That's your fulfilling thing.
I can't help but create.
Right. You're a creative machine.
Well, I wouldn't say machine. I'd say organism. A Picasso, a Moliere. There's certain people that just create because they have to.
Right.
I make that noise when I'm becoming incredibly pretentious.
That's how can I explain this to dumb people? This.
Yes.
Right.
I am what you call a god among men.
The proletariat refer to as.
Yeah, I don't know the word that you would want to use. Corn cob eating cretin.
What's something you want to do that a lot of people don't know, Conan?
Oh, wow. I love this. When you lower your tone, I feel like I must obey you.
I just want to just hear what is on the inside.
Yeah. This is very right now.
What's going on?
Yeah, I see you're getting to the real stuff of it now, aren't
you? What's going
you?
On inside? Yeah. Who's the new Barbara Walters?
I don't know. Is there one? There's too much. It used to be one person interviewed everybody, and it was Barbara Walters. She interviewed. Then it was Oprah.
Right.
Right. There was when we were kids. Yeah. Barbara Walters. Johnny Carson never did an interview, and then Barbara Walters said, "You know, if you could be a tree, what kind of tree would you be?"
And people would start crying.
Yeah, and people would cry immediately. But we don't. I don't think we have that anymore.
I don't know.
I guess maybe what you're implying is that, well, I am.
Yes, I think you could do that.
I could do that.
That's very interesting.
Let me ask you a question. You are, I've been familiar with your work for a very long time. You've appeared on my show thousands of times.
Yes.
Well, four of them, quite good. I will say this, you are money in the bank. You're always hilariously funny. You are more prolific, I think, than any stand-up comedian I know. Every time, you used to come on our show quite often, and you would always have completely new material. And I thought, I don't think there's anyone like Jim Gaffigan when it comes to just coming up with, well, it's true.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm just trying to get my dad to like me. And maybe if I do that, maybe then he's dead. It's too late. No. No.
No, they can still look down from heaven.
They Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I feel like I love, you know, that's why I asked you about creating. I feel, you know, there's along this journey, it's like it is the buzz of coming up with a comic idea. Or like, you know, you know, the moments like we just had out there talking with Andy and
you just did the show and that's
but you get that hit every night. It's what you kind of enjoy. Like, you know, the Conan Without Borders. There's something, I'm sure the wear and tear is not ideal. I'm sure that there's no monetary incentive. It's a strange kind of buzz that you get from doing that and fulfilling a certain intellectual curiosity.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can go there and you can have sex with strangers. But other than that.
Or try to.
Try to. Dead strangers, by the way, of course. Yeah. Well,
when you're turned down by a dead stranger, it's a new low. I almost got there with that dead person, but then they weren't interested. No, we do those travel shows. I absolutely love them. And there's no, you know, you could say like, what's the rational, there's not a game plan. There's not like, so Conan, what are you doing there with the, I see what you're doing. You do enough of the Conan Without Borders and then you pivot over to this. You're like, no, there's nothing. There's really nothing. This is just.
Yeah, people don't realize.
This is just, people don't realize how half-assed our careers are. Or that
there's some plan. So like I've, you know, been lucky enough to appear in some movies. People are like, so you done with stand-up? I'm like, no, that's. It's not some grand plan, like I'm just going to do stand-up for 30 years, get a certain level of skill, and then I'm tossing it away when I get some acting roles. Like, that, why would someone even pursue that?
You know what?
That?
I think some people do that, and those are people, and I will not name names, but people that aren't, I don't think they...
Bob Hope?
Let's tear him a new one. No, I think there are people who, they get into stand-up, but it's not the dream. They're in stand-up, and then that gets them into movies. And then the minute they're in the world of movies, they're not interested in doing stand-up again because stand-up is really hard. You are different in that you thrive on stand-up. You're doing stand-up all the time. It's who you are. You'll be doing it.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got a year left to live, in 3 years, you'll be doing it, you know? And I'm just putting it out there that you don't have long.
No, I don't. I don't have long. But I
do think that that's something that you gravitate, you want to do that. And it is not about, once I get into movies, you'll never see me in a club again. Because I do think that there are a lot of people who fit that bill.
Yeah, I guess there are. But I think there's a surprising amount of comedians that kind of have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I think, you know, even when in between NBC and TBS, it's like you know, I wasn't in communication with you, but you had this itch that had to be, you know.
Oh, yeah, we did the tour. Yeah.
Well, some of that was syphilis. But, like, you had – no, but you had an itch where you were – you know, there's the performing, there's the writing, you know, there is the, it's probably very similar to a drug. Like in 20 years, they're going to be like, these addicts in the entertainment industry, addicts of approval, and they should all go into recovery.
Well, just, first of all, what you're bringing up is a, I think, very true, because if I'm on, we just finished a 2.5 week break. And at the end of the 2.5 weeks, I was at the kitchen table and my wife said something very sane and normal. And I don't even know what I said, but I was like, yeah, well, yeah, cut that in half and you get twice what dump. And she said, go back to work.
Yeah.
And she was not, she just wasn't interested in that guy. That guy needs to live at Warner Brothers and needs to be surrounded by people who are paid to tolerate it. But she doesn't want me. Well,
yeah,
there.
I mean, I've talked to Jerry Seinfeld about this. Name drop. No, but Jerry is like, he's worth more than Bill Gates at this point. And he's still like, what about this line? Should I do this line?
Should I do this?
All right, if you had to choose between, would you rather be on The Masked Singer?
Right.
Or do the lip sync contest? Show where you like the highly produced lip sync show, or give Trump a bath. What would you?
I'm gonna go with Masked Singer.
Masked Singer.
I would do Masked Singer. I would have an elaborate mask, and but I would always I would only do really old songs from like the 30s, and that so I'd come out and I'd be wearing this exotic.
How do we even know they're singing? They're wearing a mask.
I know, but I'm going to sing it, and I'm gonna have this like insane exotic mask, and I'm going to go button up your overcoat when the wind blows free. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me. Odie, odie, oh. Eat an apple every day. Bow, be in bed by 3.
And then the judges will be like, I think that's Taylor Swift. But there is, I haven't seen The Masked Singer. If I watch it, I'd probably fall in love with it.
I haven't seen lip sync. Who does lip sync?
I don't know. I just see the clips. They're like, you're not going to believe this celebrity.
Lip sync battle.
It's LL Cool J and Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, yeah, right. Of course. I've watched all of them. Yes.
Oh.
It's not as good as Air Guitar Battle. But
who hosts that? Dame Judi Dench. Let's take a break. More with Jim Gaffigan. After these messages.
If there's anything better than getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's, it's getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's for less in the McDonald's app. Delicious. Order in the McDonald's app today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, only in the app. Enjoy a breakfast sandwich for just $1, like a sausage McMuffin with egg. Offer valid one time per day from 4/29 to 5/12/24 at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards.
And we're back. How'd you enjoy the break?
Well, I am back here with Jim Gaffigan, who has blah, 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 blah. What is your attitude about
doing... I like how you ask questions. That's good. No one else has done that yet.
Well,
keep going.
I'm your friend. So about doing press, how do you like? Do you have a publicist? The show has a publicist.
The show. I have a publicist there in New York, but it's not. I've been around so long. It's not like I constantly need to be drumming up. You know, let's get some hot more ink Conan O'Brien guy. So I would say that, but every now and then when we're doing something, yeah, you need a publicist.
Isn't it amazing as you go along your career in the entertainment industry, things that seem so impressive and alluring, once you get there, you look behind the curtain and it is Wizard of Oz and you're like, oh, really? I thought this would be cool, but it's not. Do you feel that way?
I was backstage at an award show, and the big thing they were trying to do was reunite the three Charlie's Angels. I think it was the three original Charlie's Angels. This is when Farrah Fawcett was still alive. And so it was like Farrah Fawcett and help me
Jacqueline
out here.
Smith.
Jacqueline Smith and
Kate
McKinnon.
And Kate McKinnon. That's right. Time traveling Kate McKinnon.
Kate Jackson.
Kate Jackson. Very good.
Kate Jackson.
And so they were trying to get them going, and there was some kind of rift. And it wasn't clear that, I think it was like, well, Jacqueline Smith isn't going to go out on stage with them or something like that. And but I know that there were three angels backstage, but one of them wasn't going to go out and it wasn't clear she was going to go out. And it was a big show. It was like the Emmys or something. And there was a lot of hubbub backstage and tension. Well, what's going to happen? And all of a sudden,
And I'm backstage, and there's a guy there with a walkie-talkie, and he just goes like, we don't know, she's not coming. And then he said he saw Jacqueline Smith walking towards the area where they were all going to be together. And he said, I got a third angel walking. Third angel walking. And then I heard that repeated on all the microphones. Third angel walking. And then you look at TV and just this gold curtain separates. The three angels come out, all arms around each other, all love, all yay. And everyone went, yay, yeah. It's the three angels. And I was thinking, this almost didn't happen for no reason. And then it did. This is not an accurate portrayal of the business.
You know what's I think is really interesting is I presented at the country, the CMAs.
Yeah, Country Music Awards.
And I'm not that knowledgeable about country music, but the sense of community in country music, I'm sure there's politics and hierarchy and stuff like that, but like everyone was there. Like their opening number had like Dolly Parton, the inventor of the guitar. They had like everyone.
Yeah, William H. Guitar.
You know,
they
had, you know, Reba McEntire. There was no drama. There was, you know, like Casey Musgraves or whatever. It was all kind of like no one was like, I'm the queen bee. It was all, everyone was there. There was a certain respect and a peer respect that's shared that I thought was really fascinating. Then I made fun of it. Yeah. No, but then I was really impressed.
But, you know, I think country music is famous for there's like this humility. They take their humility seriously. And if you think about modern pop music, it's almost about not being
right.
humble.
It is so, like, I remember when the bragging really started occurring, I was like, well, this is not sustainable. Like people bragging, like I'm the king of everything. Like, I'm like, this is going to backfire. Right. And it is, it's a way in by saying I'm the best, I'm this, I'm that. And it's consistent. It works within.
Here's how things have changed. Did you ever watch the show, My Super Sweet 16? I know it's like, hasn't been on for like 10 years. Right. Mm-hmm. But it was this show where there was a reality show. They would follow this 16-year-old girl who was always very wealthy, who was having her super sweet 16. And I remember one episode started with she had a knight in shining armor ride to her high school and hand out invitations to some people, but not other people. You know, and people who got the invitations were crying and cheering, and people who didn't get the invitations were inconsolable. And I was watching this and I was thinking, if this had happened at my high school in 1980 or 1979, if I had had a knight in shining armor ride to the school to dispense invitations to some people and not others, the knight would be killed immediately.
Well, you would
killed.
Be. You would
then
be ridiculed.
I would, then
ridiculed.
I would be killed.
And you'd and be so there'd ridiculed. Be two,
yes, and I'd be ridiculed, and I would be an outcast, and there'd be a dead knight in the center of the Brookline High School courtyard.
Yeah.
You just didn't do that shit. And this was this whole, the culture flipped, where it's, yay, I got invited. And then at the end of the show, it always ended the same way. The girl has like a giant party. She has someone DJ or rapping at their party. But then it's always was a white brand new Land Rover or BMW SUV or Mercedes SUV with a giant red ribbon on it would be presented to her. And all of her friends were cheering as if it happened to them. And I was like, I would be shred. They would release wolves and I would be shredded. And then the car, they would take pipes to the car. They would just destroy the car and smash it. And then in thick Boston accents, they say, "With your fucking car now, there.
Yeah.
With your car now, there, pal."
But where did, you know, I don't know
what happened. Something switched.
You know, here's what I think it is. I believe that the big cultural shift was when Dynasty got on air. I'm serious.
I've always said
materialism. Was rewarded. Even prior to that, Dynasty is the root cause of all economic disparity in this country. Prior to then, you could be a CEO, but you wouldn't have like, you'd be like making 200 and the average worker would be making 30. Dynasty started. Now CEOs get packages of $300 million. You know, it's all tied back to Dynasty.
Yes. And you know, I want to tell you something else that you bring up when you bring up Dynasty. And this is something that used to be ubiquitous on TV. I grew up watching this on TV, and I'm mad that it hasn't happened to me in real life.
Yeah.
I'm going to come home tonight,
yeah,
and I'm going to walk through my front door, and I'm going to say hello to my wife, and I'll try to get my kids' attention. They'll be, you know, not ignoring me. Mm-hmm. But what I want is to walk in and say hello to my wife. And as I'm saying hi to her, I want to walk to the center of the room, and there's a crystal decanter there. And I take off the top and I pour an amber liquid, I don't even know what it is, into a glass, and I drink. And I realize that that's how I grew up seeing that all the time on shows like Dynasty, yeah, on Dallas, every single show, of the 60s, every single show, yeah, people walked in. And I would just come in, and it's like I would just come in and go like, oh, hello, Jim, good to see you. And I would take the top off, pour an amber liquid, and start drinking, yeah, alcohol. It didn't matter what time of day it was.
Yes.
I want that.
That and was that's a been, bad meeting. I need a drink.
Yes, but that I don't have that. I don't have that, and I've always wanted that. And I don't know why I want it, but I've always wanted there to be an amber liquid. Obviously, I don't drink scotch and whiskey.
Yeah.
And
now, do you drink?
I drink wine, and but I'm not a spirits boozer. Drinker. But I want to have.
I mean, you're all about the edibles. I know that.
That no, is, but you like, got the wrong guy. She's often, right over there, by the way. That's
how
my
often
assistant.
Do you,
okay,
would you say, like,
I don't, I never do drugs.
In college,
I never
did you ever, get drunk? You must have
I
been drunk before.
I didn't drink at all until I was 26.
Really?
And I worked on the Harvard Lampoon, which is basically an organization founded by and for alcoholics. I mean, everybody was a hardcore.
And by the way, I mean, you're obviously much older and you look much older than me. But I,
Jesus
Christ. My college years, it was all about overconsumption of alcohol.
But that's true. That's still true, I think, for a lot of colleges. I never drank.
I don't think it is.
No, you don't think so? You don't think they drink anymore? Sona,
I think it's,
Sona, do you think they're still drinking a lot in college?
I'm going to agree with Jim. I don't think that people drink the way they used to the point of when they used to go unconscious.
I think younger people are smarter.
Yeah. I think they're getting high a lot.
You know what?
More.
There's also more, yes. There's more options. You know, I think it used to be get drunk or don't get drunk. And now there's just so many other options.
And it was also, I think it was, like, getting blackout drunk, maybe this is me rationalizing, getting blackout drunk was not a source of embarrassment. It was like, uh-oh, oh, well. You know, and today people would be like, you should go to rehab. Do you know what I mean? I think, like, when I was in college, people were like, yeah, that was a good weekend. But I think now it's like, no, that's, you're dealing with issues that you should, that kind of thing.
Whenever you do an impression of someone telling the truth, their voice gets very quiet.
I try not to do that. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I don't.
Yeah. Now it's gone completely. I don't know. I can't speak to what the kids are up to on their college campuses with their raccoon coats and their Stutz Bearcats and their
kids
Prohibition liquor, playing those bongos. I don't know. But I'm surprised. Do you – I also don't smoke, but I wish I had a really cool cigarette case, a flat cigarette case, and I wish that I could smoke, but none of the smoke would go into my lungs.
Neither of your parents drank or smoked?
No. I grew up in a completely dry home.
Smoking? No, they didn't
no
smoke
smoking.
Either?
No, my dad's a doctor. No smoking.
Wow.
No smoking, no drinking. No discussions of sex, no photos of sex.
No.
No nudity.
Did anyone raise their voice?
That would be... You could raise your voice if you were being funny, but you couldn't say, hey, what the fuck? What was that all about? You didn't confront anybody about anything. What you did was sort of look at them in a caustic way and then go and find other people and talk shit about that person.
Right.
But you didn't confront people. You weren't honest about your emotions.
And your grandparents?
We don't know. No, my grandparents? No, they did not drink. My grandparents
did not.
They did
not.
No.
Well, you know what's interesting?
You know, because I came from this culture that was so afraid of alcoholism. For good reason, that they just decided, let's just not have that.
Well, you know, supposedly in Ireland, the percentage of people that consume alcohol is smallest in all of Europe, but the people that do drink, drink a lot.
Yeah. There's only four people in Ireland.
There's only four people
that drink. But they drink so much.
Yeah.
That's. I think it's true. It's a genetic problem.
Yeah, no, it's there. And also, I think there's a lot of mental illness in Ireland.
And that's why you self-medicate.
Yeah.
Do you drink?
I drink occasionally. I can't drink like I used to. I mean, I still drink through my mouth. It just comes out of me. I just can't
help
it.
How does he do it?
I don't know. I don't know how I do it. No, but I go through, like I was saying on the show tonight, it's like I'm a fat guy. And I wasn't, like when I first started doing your show, I was not a fat guy. And so like there is like, I feel like I medicate with food. And, you know, obviously, you know, some of it is why I'm gaining weight is I don't want to just be known as a piece of sexy ass. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't want people coming on to you all the time.
Right. I don't need that. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, my gosh, can I just touch you? You know, stuff like that, which I still get. I mean, they don't say it out loud.
You and I are in that rare club.
Yes.
Of men that are objectified by women. And women feel comfortable putting their hands on us.
Right.
On our fronts and our backs.
And our innards.
Yeah. And they want... Well, Sonia, you've been around me when women are around and they just lose it. They right? just lose it.
No. That does not happen. I'm so sorry. Was I supposed to play along?
No.
That does not happen.
No, ever. You're supposed to tell the truth.
I mean...
Oh.
When I have often... And this is the thing.
Yeah.
And few people know what this is like.
Mm-hmm.
Jim knows.
I know.
Jim knows, and I know. And so I can't explain it to you,
yeah.
But men want to be us. Women want to be with us.
Right.
Some men
or some women so badly want to be with me, they'll look at me and they'll walk away. And sometimes they'll start jogging or sprinting.
Right. I have that. That's the common reaction I get.
I've had women, like, I was dating a woman who was so into me. She was so into me, she had to break up and start dating women. She was so into me.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
But I get it. This is what we...
That's just a charisma thing. And I said, hey, can we just hang out? And she was so nervous and flustered, she started laughing. And she started saying, you're gross, which obviously she didn't mean.
Right.
And, you know, it was just like, because I'm a feminist. So I understood
right.
that, you know.
You know what it is. She didn't want to fly too close to the sun.
She didn't.
She did not want her wax wings to melt. So then you get, and this is what I get a lot too, is no. And this is before I got married and in my attempts to hook up after I've been married.
I've had women tell me, thinking about you makes me dry.
Yeah. Which, when you think about it, is such a come on.
Well, it's great, particularly if you're like, if you just got out of the pool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And right. you want to be dry.
Yeah. 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 That's how they mean it, right? Aren't they usually saying that to you?
But you know what's interesting?
What?
It's like we both are the self-deprecation's very, very important element, isn't it? It's an effective tool to communicate. Self-awareness, which I think people appreciate. And it's a great way to lie, particularly when you're as well endowed. I'm talking about gut. Keep your head out of the gutter. I'm endowed with a huge gut. And but a lot of people don't know gut stands for good under tummy.
Really?
A lot of people don't know that.
So when you say I've got a large gut, it means it's a large gut, a large area under your tummy.
Like if you've seen, I monitor a lot of female yoga classes, you know, just research, you know, because I'm big into like Buddhism.
And they let you just sit in?
Well, I'm not videotaping, you know what I mean? I'm in, like, you know, there's the mirror.
Yes, yeah.
I'm on the other side of the mirror.
Okay. And do the people that run the yoga place know that you're on the other side of the mirror?
They rented the room. Do you know what I mean? And they can't tell it's me. I'm in, like, a Batman costume. So it's like, I'm in the other room. just, you know, organizing my oils and liquids.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, and I know exactly what you're talking about. You know. And you're filming them.
Yeah, I'm filming, but you know, did you see Boyhood? It's kind of like Boyhood. It's like, I want people, so like, if I videotape someone and then later on I meet them, like, you know, we've known each other for a while. You know, I've done that before.
Right. And they say, I don't think we've met. And then you say, no, I have hours of film.
Has anyone ever gotten arrested for being on a podcast?
They're trying. They're trying. You know what? If this were being broadcast at this moment,
yeah, that would be
they would be, they would hear them coming up the stairs. They'd come and they'd get us.
Have you ever endorsed a presidential candidate?
I don't believe I have, no.
And do you...
I do it much later on. Like, I'm endorsed like Lincoln.
Like, someone wins.
Yeah, no, like, years and years after it turned out to be a good idea. I think Truman was a good pick. He ended up being a good president. So, yes, I endorse him now. I endorse Lincoln now. But I don't do it... I don't think... First of all, I don't think anyone cares what my opinion is.
Yeah, I can confirm
when it comes to
politics.
Okay, that's unnecessary.
But would you ever... But, like, don't you think, like, Al Franken, you could do it. You could be a senator, don't you think?
Do you think what? Could I be a senator?
I think you could.
Well, I guess suppose this is as good a time as any to find out. Right? I just think there'd be... Aren't they just going to look at hundreds of thousands of hours of me acting like a clown and say, this man can't hold office? Or does that not make any sense anymore? Are we past that?
I don't know.
It might help you.
Then I'm in.
I think we did it. We did it.
I'm very proud
of us. Remember the McLaughlin group? What happened on that show?
You know, where did that come from?
I don't know. I was just thinking about it. This kind of feels like the McLaughlin group right now.
What is that?
You're too old to know. It was a group that debated the news.
It had
the
a lot of diversity.
Day.
There was old white guys, and then there were some other older
woman,
white guys.
An older white woman. There was a white woman.
But then there was one really old white guy. But they were all kind of grumpy.
That was what diversity was back in the day.
That was.
Yeah. Different kinds of ages of white.
Yeah.
Was so, a diverse show back then.
You know, like...
Like, if you look at a Benetton ad from the 70s, it's all just white. Different white people.
It's white people with, like, makeup on.
Yeah.
So, like, I was surprised today when you were like, oh, no female director got nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh, this is on the show. I have to specify.
No, when we were talking before and you're like, oh, good, no broad got nominated. I thought that was first.
Yeah, that's how I thought.
That was strange. You were like, oh, good, no broad. They should be back in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Then what did you mean by that?
What I meant... And you I was smoking my cigar.
Yeah.
And you told me that no broads got nominated.
I said, no broads got nominated.
And I went, no broads got nominated. This is a terrible slander, what you're saying right now. That's very far from my character, and I think you know it, and I think you should apologize.
I you know what? I'll contemplate it. How about those people that can't apologize? You can apologize, right? Remember that was this thing in shows, like with I apologize. Do you know what people like? I think the Fonz couldn't apologize.
Oh, the Fonz, he couldn't say he was. I think he couldn't say. Yeah, he couldn't say he was wrong. The Fonz, right? I'm sorry. He couldn't do it. He was too.
His
cool.
office was the men's room.
Yes. Yeah.
He obviously was selling blowjobs.
Wait, a guy selling blowjobs?
Well,
that's a fantastic. What a
that's a small small town business, right?
Uh-huh.
That's part of the American Express Small Business Weekend.
You have 5 children.
I know. Can you believe that?
And you're one of 6.
I'm one of 6.
Because I'm one of 6.
What number are you?
I'm 3rd.
I'm the youngest.
And then my wife, I just, at first I thought.
From Seattle.
From Seattle. I thought there was maybe, I just didn't know. We didn't talk about it. I just thought, and then after we had 2, she said, you're never to touch me again. And
that's code for don't touch me again.
That's double talk. That's double speak.
Yeah, but so would you, obviously it's a negotiation and we're all frightened of women, but what, would you have wanted more children?
I'm happy. I love my kids. Shocker. I love my children.
We'll run that. Now answer the question honestly. no, but like,
I like
what about your siblings? Did they, any of them have
five or six kids? No one had that many kids. No, nobody did that.
Well, nobody, because you're not supposed to, right?
Well, but you did.
I did.
Five.
And these children are killing me. They're slowly draining the life from me.
And it sounds like that.
When I pass away in like a week, by the way, I'm like,
yeah.
That they'll listen to this and know that it was their fault.
I've always wanted to be found by, when I die, people say, do you want to be cremated or do you want to be, and I've always wanted to be put in a field and found.
So,
you know, because I just thought that would be so dramatic.
That would be so funny. Like you die and your one request is like you'd want to be like found in a field. Like so some innocent person's jogging.
Yes.
That's so horrible.
No. And I've asked Sona to take care of Sona. I've said two things. Don't let them bury me in L.A.
Yeah, you have.
And I also want to be dragged out into a field so that someone discovers me and then detectives are standing over me.
Oh, that's
and
so
doing
funny.
That. I've always wanted that.
That's so funny.
I want to be found because that's going to be a real shock to whoever finds me.
Right.
And then I will live on through that person's shock.
Well, the good thing is when you're as pale as us.
You and I are very pale.
We already kind of look, we're like the dead look is going to be the same as what we look like right now.
Most
it's
times,
like, oh my God, the blood. Oh, no, that's just Jim.
Most times, yeah. You most time, I mean? Most times I have like a long nap. When I wake up, they're trying to embalm me. They're trying to embalm me and they're picking out. And I'm like, no, it was a nap.
It was a nap.
You and I, we joke about this a lot. We are shockingly white.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know.
It's a curse.
It is. There's no good to being, like, we're not supposed to be on this planet.
No. And we're not, or in daylight. You know what I mean?
No. My dermatologist.
What about your kids? Are your kids pale?
They have, I don't know, we're also.
Any redheads or no?
No redheads, but they have my wife's skin, which is a little darker.
Whoever she had sex with.
How dare you? You laughed so hard. He laughed so hard. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Gaffigan just laid himself laugh so hard that his headphones flew off.
He got shot in the head.
It looked like the Zapruder film. That was insane.
You want to know how fat Jim Gaffigan is? His headphones didn't fit. Like, they literally had to get the extender. That's not that rare to have this extender on my headphones.
It's not an extender.
You glued three pairs together.
We took six headphones cut out sections and we glued them all together. And then I added my belt. But you know what? You look good. I think you look good. I think you're fine.
But thanks. That's all right. The paleness thing is not great.
Yeah. I wish I had, I wish I was a very dark-skinned Spanish man.
Yeah.
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 And I wish I worked in like a small but respected tapas place.
Really?
Yeah. But it's not super popular, so I don't have to work that hard, but it's respected.
Right. You know, but the thing about tapas, you know, we're two pale people. Let's talk about tapas. You know, and I have shows in Spain coming up, and I love performing
in
Spain.
We all know.
Is the tapas, they're kind of out all day.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of that.
No.
Like, they make them all around 10 a.m., and then you're like, hey, didn't I see those 6 hours ago? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, I don't want that. I don't want that.
How many times are you going back to the same tapas place?
Well, I do.
At 10 a.m.
I go to a lot of them.
It's just clear now. I'm just doing the reconstructive surgery on this story.
Yeah.
You were at the tapas place at 10. You went back at 12.
No, but then it's just out there. Like, no sneeze guard. You know, come on. I don't want that.
You just say it's flan.
I don't like it. I don't like that. A lot of jamon over in España, but.
Yeah.
A lot of jamon. Have you done a Conan Without Borders in España?
No. We're going to.
We'll
we
do
have
it
plans
together.
To do it. Would you like to do a Conan Without Borders?
I'm Spanish, so you might as well take me.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm part Spanish.
That's not true.
Well, I like Spanish rice.
Okay. Yes, it's an absurd conversation. I think we've, you know, I know, oh, you have a,
You're one of the first guests to say, I gotta go. I can do an hour and then I gotta go. Where do you gotta go?
I've got a movie premiere. It's called Troop Zero.
Oh.
I'm working with two fantastic young up-and-comers. One of them's called Viola Davis. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. And Allison Janney. I think they've got some promise.
Incredible talent.
And McKenna Grace, mm-hmm. who's... has more success by the age of 13 than I ever will achieve in my career. And a bunch of other kids. But it's a great movie. It's about oddballs that kind of find their way to be themselves.
Okay, you're getting quiet again.
Earlier you were saying that, before we started taping, you were saying that you think that women shouldn't work. What did you mean by that?
You know me and my beliefs. I have very strong beliefs.
If they're working, it should be work in the bedroom.
My God.
Right. You know what I love? You're the rule of improv is to say yes and. So I love that you just lay out horrible things that
Dude,
I said.
I'm going to blame it on my Monster Energy drink. I've had three of them.
And then it's my job to go yes and.
So earlier you said you killed a bunch of teenagers back in the late 80s. What did you mean by that? Well, yes, and they tried to escape, but I didn't let them. And now they're in a well. You're a monster.
I am a monster.
You're a good guy.
This has been fun.
I'm glad you had a good time.
Hopefully this is, I guess I'll find out.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. What do you guys think? Do you think we got a good one here?
I think it's great.
I haven't had that much fun in a long time.
Oh, thanks.
Well, you have a set.
I don't believe him, but go on. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, take it back.
You're a very funny man.
Thank you.
You're very talented, and I've known you for a very long time, and I always like to see how your brain works. Oh, you're a very unusual fellow.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I mean that in the nicest way.
Thank you. And I won't tell anyone how much you disrespect women.
Thank you. Thank you for keeping that under your hat.
It's only funny because it would never be true. Right?
Right, right, Sona?
What's that? Wait, what? I'm sorry, what?
Were you looking at your phone?
I was checking to see what time it was. No, you would never disrespect women.
Except unless they were doing a podcast looking at their phone.
Yeah, except unless they're your assistant.
Then she was playing solitaire, too. Remember solitaire?
God bless you, Jim Gaffigan.
Thank you. Thanks, you guys.
You know, as we do this podcast, I think people are really getting to know you, Sona.
Yeah.
It's nice. I think they're getting to know the real you. So every now and then I like to bring people up to date on what it's like to be around you, particularly your family.
Yes.
So just literally 3 days ago, I'm with Sona and we're running an errand and we're in sort of the Koreatown area of Los Angeles.
Yes.
I'll tell you what the errand is. I had to go and get some eyeglasses. So we went into this store that we like in Koreatown. And I go inside and you were making sure that my car was in the right spot in the lot. You said, I'll be right in. So I came in and then you came in and you were looking at your phone and you were all flustered. And I said, what happened? You said, someone tried to break into our house. And this is your new house that you and your husband Tack bought. You've kind of partially moved in, but not all the way. And you said, someone tried to break in. And I said, oh my God, that's terrible. And the person who's selling us the frames was like, that's terrible. So we both drop what we're doing. We make it all about you. What's going on? You're like, someone tried to break in. Someone tried to smash the door. We're like, oh my God, that's awful. And then you're saying, your phone just lights up and it's your dad. He's headed over there. He's headed over there right now.
Immediately.
Then your uncle who?
No, my tax stepdad.
Tax stepdad.
Dropped everything. Went to the house.
Suddenly people are quitting their jobs.
Call the sheriff.
Yeah. Armenians within a 600 mile radius are all dropping whatever they're doing. Like an Armenian surgeon stopped midway through heart replacement surgery, dropped his scalpel and said, someone tried to break into Sona and Tack's house and ran out of the emergency room.
Yeah.
The patient did not make it. And You know, planes are landing. Just madness.
It's crazy.
Absolute madness. And your phone just keeps lighting up. So suddenly it's not about me buying my glasses, which is appropriate. This is much more important. You're really rattled. Then you say like, oh, my husband just called. He says, I'm buying a gun. And I said, what? And he said, if people are smashing into our house, I'm buying a gun. And I'm shouting to your husband, who I love, by the way, and who's a sensible man.
Yes.
I shout to him over the, he's like, Tack, you're not getting a gun.
Yeah.
And he's shouting back, I'm gonna get a gun. I want a shotgun. I've got to protect my family. So all of this is happening. Craziness. Absolute craziness. Eventually, I buy my sunglass and eyeglass frames and, you know, pay for it. And we leave. And I would say now about like 40 minutes has gone by. And we are getting into my car and we get in the car and I'm in the driver's seat and you're in the passenger side. And I go like, so Sona, what about your house? I mean, what about your house? And you went, no one tried to break in.
What?
And I said, what? And she said, no, I'm pretty sure no one tried to break in. And I went, what? And she said, well, someone took, someone came by who was like going to clean the house and thought that someone was going to break in. But I don't think so. I think maybe just someone had a little trouble getting the key in. And then you proceed. I said, what do you mean? What does the door look like? And she said, well, here's a picture that like my husband took of it. And you show me a picture and it's a completely normal looking door handle.
What?
The completely normal, listen to this, Gourley, a completely normal looking door handle with key. And you know the way sometimes we go to put our key in and occasionally the key slightly misses the slot and makes a little tiny bit of a scratch on next to the keyhole. There's three of those on either side of this door handle that's from the 1960s. So, of course, it's actually the nicest looking door handle I've seen in fucking memory.
Were those scratches already there and you just
didn't
know? Yes! They were.
Oh. And so it went from, yeah, no, and I said, no! Not only did no one try to break in, I think someone jumped your hedge, came up, and polished your door handle. That's what I think happened. And meanwhile, there are 45 Los Angeles Armenians crawling around the house. Shotguns are being purchased. Lambs are being butchered for no reason and cooked.
They've already printed shirts that say Team Sona.
Yeah, exactly.
They started a GoFundMe for missing items.
15 strangers in the neighborhood were wrestled to the ground and imprisoned in a wooden cage. What the hell?
It escalated very quickly and then de-escalated just as quickly.
I love it. It went from, oh my God, madness, missiles are being launched, to me getting in the car and wanting to be supportive and saying, almost like, Sona, do you need me to, I'll drive over there with you if you don't feel, you know, immediately to, oh, no one broke in.
Do you like that you have that at your disposal or is that a burden?
I should say I don't like it, but I love it.
She has an army at her command.
Because, you know, most people would have to be, I have to leave, I have to go to my house. But instead I was like, let me just call one of 30 people that could go to our house right
now
to check
on
it.
And they'll call.
Yeah.
First of all, all you have to do is call your dad.
Yes.
Or your mom. And suddenly, people you don't even know are being alerted. People who are in the middle of a mustache waxing are being awakened from a deep sleep in their barber's chair, and they're getting on a pony and riding over to your house. It's craziness.
They all have watches that have a signal that go off.
Yeah.
I was getting texts from people I haven't been affiliated with who were just talking to my mom, and they were like, I heard about your house. Oh. It was so stupid. But yeah, the house is fine.
Best looking, by the way, best looking doorknob and keyhole I've seen in my life.
Very lovely.
Gorgeous.
Very, very lovely.
You can see your reflection in it.
Yeah.
Absolute madness. But it does make me think, I mean, you have such power. Do you know what I mean? You can summon.
It feels good.
The way Aquaman can just, he can just think and about his different animal friends, and suddenly all these fish are coming from all over the, you can just send out this signal. You have like a trident.
Yeah.
And 800 people will come running.
You're like a white walker that can just raise the dead. And
yeah.
Yeah, but it's the Armenian way. I think I would do it if somebody else needed it. I would, if someone texted me and said, I need to leave, I would drop everything and completely just leave without telling you anything.
So you don't put the job first?
Okay. That's the funniest thing you've said. Put the job first.
Yeah, I know.
No, come on. You know that.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
No, I mean, you know, I like my job. I love my job.
You have your priorities in order.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you do.
If somebody needs, you know, if an Armenian out there needs help, text me and I'll be right there.
And that just goes to any listener throughout the world.
Yeah. Any listener. If,
you know, and,
including
and
also, all of Armenia.
Yeah, also anyone in Armenia. If you're in Yerevan right now and you need help immediately with something, just get a hold of Sona and she will drop what she's doing.
Yep. I'll be
and
there.
She will fly. Mm-hmm.
You know
to
what?
Yerevan.
Same goes for me, Armenians. Hey. I got your back.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
You got it.
Oh, man.
You'd fit right in Armenia. You.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. I've been there. It would be hilarious. Actually, I stuck out sort of ridiculously in Armenia. Yes.
No kidding.
Thank you. Just they were very happy to see director Ron Howard.
Happy homecoming.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And remember, that is a real offer out there. If you're Armenian and you need help, contact Sona and she'll be there in 20 minutes, no matter where you are in the world.
Yes.
Conan O'Brien needs a friend. With Sona Movsesian and Conan O'Brien as himself. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco and Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. The show is engineered by Will Becton. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.